held in a place where the people had a level of intelligence that was below average. The attorney, who was quite famous, accepted the job, and at the proper time he was asked to help select jurors. As this man was looking over the potential jurors, he found one man who seemed to stand out from everyone else. He was not exceptionally bright, but this potential juror seemed smarter than everyone else. This man was selected to be among the jurors, and the attorney who had been hired reasoned that this man would be the jury foreman. So as the case was progressing, the man who had been selected, at least in this man's mind, to be the foreman, this lawyer began to concentrate his attention on this man. The case finally was delivered to the jury. They went back and began to deliberate, but didn't take long before the jurors came back into the courtroom. The juror that had been picked as the foreman, at least potentially, was the person who took charge, and the judge said, "Sir, have you reached a decision?" And the man said, "No. Throughout the case, we heard the attorneys use words that we are not familiar with, and we need some help. We need you to define some words." And the judge said, "What are the words?" The foreman said, "Well, the first one is the defendant, and the second one is the plaintiff." You know, there are some people in life who are ignorant about some things. It's a problem. We have people who are ignorant about a number of areas, and we use that word not to mean that people are stupid, not to mean that people are dumb, but the word ignorant simply means that people are unaware of something. There are some very smart people who are ignorant. The fellow who is a nuclear physicist may be extremely bright in that field, but when it comes to growing and caring for fruit trees, he may be completely ignorant. Not that he's stupid, not that he's dumb, but he's unaware of how fruit trees are to be treated. Ignorance means that people are uninformed about one or more things, or it means that they're not competent, or they're unaware of how to do something, perhaps because they lack experience. A person may be very bright, but they may be totally ignorant about how to change a car tire or how to change the engine oil in a car. And if people don't know how to do these things, they are ignorant about them. If a preacher in modern times, here or somewhere else, stood up before a group of people and said, "You folks are ignorant," I doubt that we would probably appreciate that. We'd probably want to run that guy out of town. Don't want to hear him preach again. It's perhaps hard for us to comprehend at any time a preacher telling the people who came to listen to him that they were ignorant. But do you know that in the New Testament we find a number of examples of gospel preachers who stood before a crowd of people and told the very people that they had listening to them that they were ignorant? One example of this is found in Acts chapter 3. In Acts 2, you may remember that Peter delivered a rather hard-hitting sermon to people who were Jewish. Towards the end of Acts chapter 2, Peter said that God sent his son into the world and the people killed him. According to Acts 2:23, by the hands of lawless men, the Jews had crucified and slayed the Lord. But when you come to Acts chapter 3, Peter's preaching is not quite so sharp. There's a sense, perhaps, in which his preaching has been toned down. But still, in Acts chapter 3, Peter was bold enough to tell those people that they were ignorant. Starting with the 14th verse of Acts 3 and reading down through verse 17. "But ye denied the Holy and Righteous One, and asked for a murderer to be granted unto you. And Peter said, You killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And by faith in his name hath his name made this man strong, whom ye behold and know, yea, the faith which is through him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Now verse 17. "And now, brethren, I know that in ignorance he did it, as did also your rulers." Peter said that these people were ignorant about what they had done to the Lord. Tonight we want to pay some attention to the word that's translated ignorance. This is a term that, as you look at it in the New Testament, it is especially fascinating. The main part of the word from which we get ignorance is identical to the word translated know in the New Testament. Same basic word. Writers took the word that is translated know, at least one of those terms, and they made a slight change. And this slight change caused the word to go from know to not know. You see, there are some words in the New Testament that are negated. And when a word is negated, the writers took what we would call an A and put that in front of the word. And that made the word mean the opposite of what it would normally mean. When we do that in English as well. A theist is someone who believes in God. But what happens if we attach an A to the front of the word? We've negated the word. A theist is now an atheist. The believer is now an unbeliever. And that's what they did with this word, this translated ignorance. They took this word, this translated no, and they put an A on the front of it, so it means, we might say literally, to not know, or to be ignorant about something. Well, let's see what we can learn about this word, this translated ignorant. One of the places where it's found is Mark chapter 9. Mark 9, verse 32. In this passage, Jesus was talking to his friends, to the disciples, and he told them that a time was coming when he would be delivered up. In verse 31, he said that he would be killed. And after 3 days, the Lord affirmed that he would rise again from the dead. Well, the disciples did not understand what the Lord meant. They were ignorant. And we have this information in verse 32. But they understood not the saying, and were afraid to ask him. The word that is sometimes translated ignorance is here rendered understood not. The disciples were ignorant. They weren't stupid. Jesus didn't pick out idiots to be the apostles. But there were some things in the lives of these people that at times they did not comprehend. And this occasion was one of those times. As we look at Mark 9:32, there's something that we learn about ignorance. Sometimes there are people in life, even members of the church, who do not understand some things and they are afraid to ask. And that shouldn't surprise us. It was true of the apostles. As we look at Mark chapter 9, we can also make this point. Is ignorance a good thing? If we do not understand something, is it wise, is it proper to keep our hand down and hide in the corner? No. What Jesus had to say was information that the disciples needed to know. The information about his coming death, the resurrection on the third day, that was information that was absolutely critical because they were going to be the spokespeople for God. And ignorance in most areas of life is usually a bad thing, and that's certainly true in the spiritual realm. The Bible specifically says that God does not want people to be ignorant. In Acts 17:30, you may remember, the Bible says, the times of ignorance therefore God overlooked. But now he commandeth men that they should all everywhere repent. When Paul preached that sermon in Acts 17:30, he made a point that there was a time in the past where there were people who lived in ignorance. That is, they didn't have a very good understanding of spiritual things. But Paul said the times of ignorance therefore God overlooked. But now, in other words, the time of ignorance is no more. God has had people write the New Testament. That testament has been preserved for us, and that's why in Acts 17:30 Paul was able to say the time has come for ignorance to no longer reign, but people need to repent. We have no excuse to live in a way that is contrary to God's ways. Peter expressed it a little bit differently. 2 Peter 1:3, he said, God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And because he's done that, there is no basis, no reason for ignorance. And this is really what we have in Acts chapter 3, verse 17. Peter, as he talked to these people, talked to them in a way that was kind. He said that they rejected the Lord because they were ignorant. They didn't understand everything. He specifically uses this term. Now, that may be a little bit hard to comprehend. How, with all of the miracles that Jesus did, how, with all the teaching, the heavenly recognition, how, with all the things that were true in the Lord's life, could the people have missed? How could they have been ignorant about who the Lord was? I don't know. But Peter, by inspiration, said that there were some things that these people did not get. They did not realize, or at least they did not fully realize what they were doing. But notice, please, from Acts 3, that ignorance did not serve as an excuse. It was not something that saved these people. Not knowing what was right did not release these people from the need to repent. Because when Peter had a chance to talk with them, he let them know that there was a problem. Their relationship with God was not right and that had to be corrected. They still needed to be cleansed of their wrongs. The people in Acts 3 were somewhat similar to the Apostle Paul. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I'm going to turn to that passage, Paul described his life prior to becoming a Christian. As Paul wrote to the young preacher, he said in the first chapter, verse 12, that he was grateful to God. He said that God had appointed him to serve the Lord, and Paul said, I'm appreciative of that fact because prior to the time of my conversion, I was the Lord's enemy. Looking at the first part of verse 13, Paul says, though I was before, prior to the time of my conversion, I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, and he said, I was injurious. Paul, prior to the time of his conversion, was someone who tried to destroy the people of God. But as you look at 1 Timothy 1:13, you find that Paul was also someone who had received mercy from God. He specifically made that point. Well, why did he receive mercy? He explains at the end of the verse. He said, I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and injurious, howbeit I obtained mercy. And the reason? Because, he said, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul was ignorant about his sins. And again, bear in mind that his ignorance was not an excuse. God did not appear to him and say, well, you're saved. You're in a right relationship with me. No, that was not the case. But God did take into account Paul's ignorance, and through his grace, through his mercy, allowed Paul to serve in a special way in the Lord's body. As we look at ignorance, we find that this is something that comes in a variety of forms. One of the ways that the Bible describes it is found in Acts 17, verse 23. We cited Acts 17, 30 a few minutes ago, but now going back to that chapter, we have another section of the sermon. After Paul became a Christian, the mercy that had been given to him, 1 Timothy 1, he tried to convert other people. And in the sermon described in Acts chapter 17, we find that Paul, on this time of his life, tried to deal with some people who were very religious. And he acknowledged that these people were very religious. In fact, in Acts 17:22, Paul commended these people for their devotion. He said that they were very religious. But then he said this, verse 23, and using the same word that's translated ignorance, "For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God." And then Paul said this, "What therefore ye worship in ignorance, this I set forth to you." In Acts chapter 3, we find that there was a preacher who stood up and he told the people who were listening to him, "You were ignorant. You didn't know what you were doing, but you were guilty of a sin. You killed God's son." Peter wasn't trying to be mean. He simply stated a fact. Did Paul preach the same message that Peter preached? Yes, he did, as we look at Acts chapter 17. Paul said that there were religious people, just like the religious Jews in Acts chapter 3, but these religious people in Acts 17 worshipped in ignorance. They were religious, but they worshipped in a way that was not the right way. They were even ignorant about the one true God. And Paul said, "This I'm declaring unto you. I'm telling you about the right way. I've come." So you can have the truth presented to you. And at the end of verse 23, Paul says, "I set forth this information to you. I want you to be informed." So it's no longer going to be the case that you're ignorant or you no longer know. The first century Christians, as you look at the book of Acts, were people who did not believe in and endorse ignorance. That seems to be something that's not a great concern in our day and time, but it certainly was a great concern to the people who were members of the first century church. The first century Christians apparently found ignorance to be something intolerable, that is, at least in the spiritual realm, because of Acts 17:30. "The times of ignorance therefore God overlooked, but now he commandeth men that they should all everywhere repent." For this reason, Paul was able to say in his letters a variety of things about ignorance. Towards the end of the Thessalonian letter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. The Thessalonians had some people who taught some things that were not true. Members, perhaps of the congregation, maybe others came in and they taught some false information about the resurrection of the dead. And Paul said this, "But we would not have you ignorant, brethren." Paul recognized that sometimes even members of the church can be ignorant about certain things. And he said, "That's not right. We need to correct that." This expression is found more than once in Paul's letters. It's also used in Romans 6, verse 4. Paul said to the Romans, "Are you ignorant about your baptism? Don't you know? Can't you remember? Do you not recognize why you were immersed into Christ?" You know, it's sometimes I think people would be offended if they were asked about their ignorance of a certain matter, but Paul didn't hesitate to do that. He said, "Don't you know? Are you uninformed?" And it may be that there are times when members of the church need to be asked if they are ignorant about certain things. "Don't you know? Haven't you ever been taught? Have you forgotten? Do you need some help in determining what's right?" When we think about ignorance, we find that it is based upon a variety of things. Sometimes, Mark chapter 9, people are ignorant because they're simply afraid to ask. And that's so sad. There are so many people who can help. There are books, tracts, the internet, all kinds of resources. No reason for ignorance to exist in our day and time. Others are ignorant because, not that they lack information, but they want to stay in a state of ignorance. There are some people in life, and this is provable by the New Testament, there are some people who willfully want to be ignorant. They're exposed to the truth, but it's like they close their ears. And this is what Paul described in Romans chapter 10, verse 3. In Romans 10, Paul appealed to the nation of Israel, and he said that he really wanted his people, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, to be saved. Paul said, "My desire, my heart's desire is that they would become children of God." In Romans 10, Paul said, though, they're ignorant of God's righteousness. And that's a sad fact. Why were the Hebrews ignorant about the gospel? Didn't Paul tell them? Was there a lack of preachers that would not go to the Jewish people? Oh, no. From the day of Pentecost on, the Jewish people were individuals who had been told about the right way. The Bible says to the Jew first, and then to the Greek, then to the Gentile, the Jews were told. Peter talked to them. Paul talked to them. Other preachers went and spoke to the Jewish people. For several years, the gospel was taken to the Jewish people. But Paul provided the explanation for the ignorance in Romans chapter 10. The people were ignorant because they willfully refused to hear the information that would have saved them. They closed their mind to the truth. In life, ignorance is usually a bad thing. We try and warn our children about things that would keep them in the dark. We tell them that we don't want you to be unfamiliar with this. There are things that you need to know. We don't want you to be ignorant about this or that area of life. But as you look at the New Testament, you find that ignorance in religion is deadly. It can be serious in just about any area of life, but it is especially important in the area of our religious faith. To be ignorant of the one true God, I maintain, is the ultimate form of ignorance in life. It cannot be any greater than that. To be willfully ignorant of God's true will has to be rated as the highest form of stubbornness and arrogance. When a person says, I'm not going to hear God's will, they willfully choose to be ignorant. That is stubbornness, and that's saying, I'm going to go my own way, and I'm going to make it work. To know God's will and to follow it is to dispel ignorance and to be fully informed. If we are someone who is not ignorant about Christ, the gospel, and the church, we need to go talk to the people who are. There are people in our world who are ignorant. Not that they're stupid, not that they're dumb, not that they're idiots. But there are simply some people in life who do not know. And the first century Christians, they did not want people to stay in a state of ignorance. Again, Acts 17:30, the times of ignorance therefore God overlooked. It was one way in the past, but now he commands all men to repent. So that's our job if we're a Christian, to help dispel, to help people overcome, to see through the ignorance that troubles so many. If we are ignorant about things that are related to Christ and the church, God doesn't want us to stay in that state. He wants us to find the right way, and he encourages us to, once we've done that, to obey it. Tonight, if this lesson has caused you to rethink some things, perhaps your commitment as a Christian to the people who are in ignorance in the religious world, to go out and continue to teach, to encourage them to study the right way, to learn the right way, and to follow the right way, we hope that that's something you'll have a renewed commitment for. And there are some things that you've been hesitant to ask about, some things that you don't fully know, some things that you don't fully understand. We hope that tonight you'll make the commitment in your heart to find out about those matters. If you're someone who has overcome ignorance in the past, you didn't know what to do, but you have reached the point in life where you now know what God requires of you, but you've simply not acted. You're so close to the kingdom of God. You've overcome a major hurdle. Will you not take the final step if you've never been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 22:16? Take that step tonight and then continue to help others dispel the ignorance that has blinded their mind to the truth. Tonight, if there's a way that we can help, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.